This morning, our devotional lesson comes from John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Thankful for salvation this morning. Let's go to our Sunday school class.
Hope y'all doing all right today. The title of our lesson today is The Perseverance of the Saints, and our lesson text comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. I'll read that at this time, and then I'll have a little bit of commentary on it. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I said, the title is The Preservation of the Saints, and the saints being people who are saved, people who have humbled their hearts before God, repented of their sins, and asked him to save their soul. That's what a saint is. Now, just to get off sidetrack a little bit here, the world seems to have a little different view, I guess, of saints. That coming from the church who designates saints, picks people out, you know who I'm talking about. But the biblical meaning of a saint is a person that is saved, and that's what we're concentrating on today. And the word perseverance here means someone who will persevere, someone who will come through through everything, come through hard times and dangers and toils, and come out victorious. And that's what we will do when our time is up here on earth, whether it be the end of time or whether it be our death. If we're saved, then we know that we will be victorious. We will spend eternity in heaven. But I want to go back here a little bit and study some of these verses that I just read. And that is, here the 28th verse, it says, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to his purpose. The first part of that verse, all things work together for the good of, of those that are saved. That's a comforting thought, that no matter what happens, that it's going to work for our good. Things are going to turn out right for us no matter what. And that's very comforting. But let's read on a little bit here in the last part. Who are called according to His purpose. We as God's people have a purpose. Each one of us that is a saved person has a purpose. God has a plan. He has a job for us. And we need to be not neglecting that purpose, that plan, that work that He has. When it speaks of everything working to the good, and then goes on and talks about who are called according to His purpose, that kind of ties those two things together there. You know, if I'm out studying the Word of God, trying to get the message out, trying to live my life as God would have me to do, then I can find assurance in this all things working together for the good. The furtherance of the gospel, that the work that I do, if I follow the will of God, is going to bear fruit. That's a guaranteed thing there. Now, it's not guaranteed that I'll know, that I'll see, that I'll be able to witness it, but I can have faith that when I do the will of God, it's going to serve a good purpose, but the word's going to go out. Now, let's stop for just a minute and think. We have a choice. I can choose not to serve God. I can choose to get caught up in the things of the world and the pleasures of the world and go down that path. What's going to happen if I do that? Well, the Lord's not going to be pleased with that. He's going to begin to withhold His blessings. He's going to begin to withhold good things. I'm not going to have a spiritual comfort. I'm not going to have fellowship with Him the way that I could otherwise have. That's going to be the start of it. But if I ignore that and carry on with turning my back upon God and carry on, then it's going to get a little bit more severe. The Lord's going to begin to chastise me. He's going to begin to punish me. Now, go back to here. All things work together for the good of them that love God. Okay, that punishment and that chastisement is going to be good for me. It's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be something that I'm going to want or that I'm going to enjoy, but it will be good for me because eventually the Lord's going to turn me around. He's going to put me back where He would have me to be. And so when you read this about all things working to the good of them that love God, it's true. That's true. That's not a lie. But the good that is going to be working towards may not necessarily be something that we're going to be wanting. That's going to depend upon how we serve God according to His purpose, it says. So let's keep those in mind here and go on and read in the 29th verse where it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Conformed to the image of His Son. We have a role model. I don't particularly like that word role model because it's often connected to sports figures or some other celebrity, but it's a fitting word for the Lord, for Jesus Christ, a role model, somebody that we ought to model our lives after, model our way of thinking, the way that we interact with other people. We need to study the Lord's life, the things that He did. That needs to be our role model. That needs to be how we live our lives, how we conduct ourselves. And it says here, it conforms to the image of His Son. We need as much as possible to make ourselves as much as possible like the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I do or that I can come anywhere near. But I need to study and try and do the best that I can to be as much like Him as possible, because He did live a perfect, sinless life, and that's something to strive for. And He goes on to say, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." Uh, God sent his son that we might be saved. And Jesus, we know that how that he lived upon this earth, he walked upon this earth, the suffering and the trials that he went through, and the death that he endured upon the cross. He did all those things because he loved us. And he wanted us to have a way to be back in fellowship with God. And he was that way that we could be back in fellowship with God. But beyond that also, now that we're saved, he is the way that we have blessings upon this life. He is the one that we turn to and ask for guidance. He is the one that we turn to and ask to help us through hard times. Now, we read here and we think about the preservation of saints and how that the Lord will do all these things for us. He'll be with us and he'll answer our prayers, and he will. And it says here in the 32nd verse, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is, all blessings, supply our every need. We read all these things and it's great. You know, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel comforted. And I believe that it's all true. And he says also, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. I don't answer to any man. I don't have to explain myself to Brother Armour. I do have to explain myself to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And God may direct Brother Armour or Brother Bird or any of y'all to come to me and point out that, hey, Terry, you know, you're kind of getting off track here. You're kind of, you hadn't been to church lately. What's going on? Is there something we can help you with? You know, we miss you. We need you. The Lord may send somebody out to do that. And here we're going to have a business meeting in a little while. And we have a letter from another church that's requesting a letter from us to recommend this person. I haven't talked to any of y'all yet that can even remember them, what they looked like. Gene vaguely remembers someone as a small child, I think, but this is a person who somehow is associated with our church, perhaps, that hasn't been here. Now, we ought to be in contact with that person, and I'm getting off subject here, but the point that I want to make is we have a responsibility and to look after our members and to be in touch with them and to correct them when they get off the path and when they're doing things that they ought not to do. We have that responsibility. What I'm trying to get back to is where it says here that it is God that justifies, and who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect. That person doesn't answer to us directly, but God does use his people to talk to other saved people. We interact with each other, and I may not answer directly to you, and you may not answer directly to me, but God still instructs us to try to bring the brethren back into the fold, how that we're to deal with matters of discipline. So, but in the end, it is God that justifies here. We go on and say, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? Now, you're getting a pretty good feeling here. You know, nothing's going to separate us from the love of Christ. All things work together for the good of those that love God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? That's all sounding great. But then we read, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. So we know that just because all things work to our good and God is with us, that doesn't mean we're going to have an easy life. It doesn't even mean we're going to have a life, because we are killed all the day long. That has really happened. People have been put to death for serving God. They've died martyr's death. And it's not over. I mean, it's still, again, in a little while I'm going to read a letter from our missionaries over in Liberia and the foreign countries, how that they are being attacked. They're being beaten up. They're being put in the hospital, risking their very lives, literally, for the word of God. So you know, we can take comfort in these scriptures, and they're true, because those men are having an effect. They're having an impact. They're reaching the lost. Satan is displeased with that, and he's doing everything that he can to stop them. So it's a battle going on. There's a war here, and we don't need to be at ease here in Zion. We don't need to be at rest. We need to be aware of what's happening. And yes, take comfort in these words that I've read here, but also don't think that we're guaranteed an easy life, because we're not. If we serve God, we are guaranteed that Satan's going to be against us. He's going to be stirring up everybody that he can to bring out against us. Let's go for just a second to Psalms 44. That's part of what I just read. There's a little bit more that I want to read out of there. Psalms 44, verses 20 through 23. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Now he says here in the 20th verse, we have forgotten the name of our God, or if we have forgotten, or stretched out our hands to a strange God. God's people have that problem. That's what we do when things get comfortable, when we get relaxed and at ease. We forget our God. We stretch out our hands to a strange God. And, you know, we may not be putting up a statue here behind the altar or calling somebody a saint and making them out bigger than life. We may not do those things, but we can still allow our hearts to be distracted, to have things, objects in our heart that are take the place of where God ought to be. That's how we worship strange gods, by taking upon ourselves things that and letting them become a priority in our lives rather than God. And that's what this people had done here. And he goes on to say, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. He knows what's important to us. He knows what it is that we desire, what we want. Now, what we ought to desire is to see the lost saved. What we ought to desire is to serve God. And I hope that we do. But God knows here, and that's what the psalmist is saying. And he's also bringing forth some of the things that's going on, because the people have stretched forth their hands to a strange God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that when trouble and tribulation come and these people are killed, that is the reason, because many times it's not. And I don't think the missionaries over in the foreign countries are being attacked because God's displeased with them. I do believe he's pleased with them, and that is the hand of Satan going forth. I want to go just a second here to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 8 through 11. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Living our lives in such a way that with all the trouble and the persecution and even the death that comes about, that people will look at us and they'll see a type or a shadow of Jesus Christ, that they'll see that we had something, that we had some kind of comfort to get us through. And I keep going back to those missionaries out in the foreign countries being persecuted, and I have to believe that when people see that and they see those men carrying on, even though they were put in the hospital beat up, and yet they get out of the hospital and they go right back and they preach the word of God, I think there is people watching that and people seeing that, and that's having an effect. It's letting those people know that man has something. There's something carrying him through. He's not just doing that of himself. Going down here to the 17th verse, and it says, For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That is, when we endure the trials and tribulations and afflictions on this life, and we do it in a manner that pleases God and shine forth the light of Jesus Christ, then we have rewards and things that we don't see that are eternal in heaven awaiting for us. And we don't need to be looking at these things that we see. And that's hard to do, I'll be honest with you. It's easy to look out and, you know, walk through Walmart and see all kinds of nifty things that you'd like to have. And, I mean, you can just drive down the road and go past new car dealers and they look nice and shiny and great. But those things are temporary. Those things are not going to be around for very long. But the things that are building up in heaven, the glories that are awaiting us there, are for all eternity. And we have an assurance that we can get those things, that we can. I don't know what they are. I don't know. I don't grasp it. I don't understand it. But if the Bible tells me that it's riches beyond compare, I have to think that it's greater than anything that this world has to offer. And I want it to gain all the rewards that I can. Here, back to our Sunday school book, and it says, in the 38th verse, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor death, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, I've read that many times since I've been saved, and it always came across to me as listing all these things that couldn't separate me from God. It was just the love of God was so strong that it kept all those things at bay away from me. But as I was studying this lesson, it occurred to me that this is listing things that we're going to be faced with. This is listing things that are going to be coming our way, that death is coming our way. It's not going to separate me from God. It's not going to interfere with me entering into the pearly gates and walking the streets of heaven. Angels, not angels that God sent down, but angels of Satan, the ones that are following Satan, they're not going to be able to do anything to my soul, but I may face them with my body, and they may cause affliction upon this body. And I think that's what's going on again in the foreign countries for the missionaries. Nor principalities, government officials, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Things present that we're faced with right now, they're able to cause us problems. You know, our government sometimes, it can cause us problems. It may be that in the future, that's going to get even worse. We may become a persecuted people. I don't know. But it's not going to separate us from the love of God. It also means that it's not, that we're not insulated from it, that it's not something that's very real and out there. But the love of God will see us through, and we will persevere. We will someday spend eternity in heaven with our Lord and Savior. None of this is a guarantee of an easy life. In fact, it's a guarantee that there are things that we're going to be faced with. But we have a Savior to turn to. We have somebody that can hear our prayers. The Bible says there's nothing that we're going to be faced with, tempted with, that He hasn't already overcome. And He understands because of that. One more scripture here and I'll be done. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If I can find it. Well, I don't know what I wrote. I wrote the wrong verse, chapter down here, so I don't know where it is. But somewhere in 2 Corinthians, I believe it says that we're going to stand before God and we'll stand before the judgment seat. That God is the one that will judge our works, not our works for salvation, but rather the works that we've done as His children that He set before us to do, whether or not we served Him as we ought to or not. And that's something to be thinking upon, you know. What's the Lord going to say to me when He sees me? What is He going to say, well done? Or is He going to say, come on in, I see the blood of my Son, you're saved, and you repented, you're in heaven, but so is by fire. No works, I didn't do anything for Him. It's a sobering thought, and it's something to be taken seriously. But nevertheless, we as saved people will persevere. That's everything that I have for today. Does anybody have any comments, any thoughts? Appreciate everybody showing up today. Thank you. That's everything. Let's keep Brother Armour in our prayers. We might give him guidance. As it was mentioned earlier, let's keep our church. Let's continue to pray for our church, that the Lord might send the pastor that would please him here. Brother Dillon, would you dismiss us?